The epistle for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 6. Brethren, I speak a human thing because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members to serve uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, so now yield your members to serve justice unto sanctification. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from justice. What fruit, therefore, had you then in those things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of them is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification, and the end life everlasting. For the wages of sin is death, but the grace of God life everlasting in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel. It's taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 7. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in the clothing of sheep, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. By their fruits ye shall know them. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, and the evil tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can an evil tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit shall be cut down and shall be cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not every one that saith to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doth the will of my Father who is in heaven, he shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And these words are taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, back in 1887, there was an interesting case that a French newspaper reported. It was the case of Henry Pranzini. Sometime in March of that year, Henry was captured and imprisoned for the murder of three women. In an attempt to plunder an apartment for its jewelry, Henry slaughtered the three women who were living there. The detectives caught Henry shortly afterwards, and he was imprisoned and sentenced to the death penalty, which in those days was done by guillotine. And from the news articles going around the country, it was clear that this man was impenitent. For he had refused the priest who had offered to hear his confession. No doubt this man's soul was steeped in sin, and he was angry with God for allowing this situation to happen to him. News about Henry quickly spread throughout the country, throughout France, and papers were all circulated all around. And many miles away from where the murderer was imprisoned, this news article fell into the hands of a little Catholic girl. The little girl, recalling the event, wrote, "I heard talk of a great criminal just condemned to death for some horrible crimes. Everything pointed to the fact that he would die impenitent." I'm sure you can imagine how upsetting this would be for this Catholic girl. In fact, children who are taught the catechism well and have a good Catholic training, they sometimes understand the value of a soul far better than adults. And the little girl understood that if Henry died unrepentant, he would be condemned to hell for all eternity. And the little girl could not bear that thought. But this little girl had, as many little children do, she had a great confidence in the Sacred Heart. She was determined to convert Henry. And she later wrote, she said, "I felt in the depths of my heart certain that my desires would be granted. But to obtain the conversion of this sinner, and I told God I was sure he would pardon the poor, unfortunate Pranzini. I believe this," she wrote. That is, she believed that even if he went to his death without any signs of repentance, or without having gone to confession, that our Lord would convert his soul. And continuing, she wrote, "I was absolutely confident in the mercy of Jesus." But she did admit that she was begging him for a sign of his repentance, only for her own simple consolation. She was so confident that if she prayed, the Sacred Heart would convert this man no matter what. And so this little girl prayed. She prayed very hard every day. She performed a little acts of mortifications and made sacrifices. She even gave her own money to have a mass offered for the conversion of this sinner. This little girl stormed heaven with her petitions on this man's behalf. And the day finally came for Henry's execution, but still he was not penitent. In fact, he refused confession. He was led to the guillotine, and still he was not sorry for what he had done. Everything was prepared, and as Henry was laying his head into the opening of the guillotine, he suddenly stopped. He turned to the priest who was there, and grabbing the crucifix from the priest's hands, he kissed the sacred wounds three times, thus clearly showing that he did have a change of heart. And the little girl's prayers had been answered. And this little girl had the great fortune to read about this conversion in the newspaper. It was God's clear sign that her prayers were answered. In telling this story later, the little apostle wrote, "After Henry kissed the sacred wounds three times, his soul went to receive the merciful sentence of him who declares that in heaven there will be more joy over one sinner who does penance than over 99 just who have no need of repentance." This little girl's name was Therese Martin, whom we know today as Saint Therese of the Child Jesus, or who is better known as the Little Flower. I'm sure, my dear faithful, that there are many of us who weep, or perhaps who have become upset and anxious over those Catholics who have lost the faith, or who are obstinate in sin, or who refuse to amend their lives, especially when it is someone who is close to our hearts, such as a family member. And I'm sure that there isn't anyone here who does not have some relative like this who is in need of great prayers. And we become very concerned. And we should be. We become very concerned when the one thing we desire is to be united with our loved ones in heaven. And yet sometimes it seems that their salvation may seem hopeless. Or perhaps in this day and age we have become anxious, and perhaps we weep, so to speak, over the situation we find ourselves in our country. And so, my dear faithful, we have to become like little trees. She desired above everything else the conversion of that great sinner. It upset her deeply that this man was not a friend of Christ. And even though this murderer was someone she had never met, she did not know him. She only heard about him and read about Henry in the newspaper. Yet she realized that his soul was an immortal soul. And so she did everything in her power to save him. She didn't visit Henry in the prison to counsel him on how to amend his life. She didn't try to make him see logically the truths of the faith. But rather, she placed her full confidence in the Sacred Heart. She knew that she was not going to convert Henry, but she knew that the Sacred Heart would if she asked him. And Therese was going to make sure that this happened. And she was going to make sure that this happened by storming heaven with her prayers and by her confidence. St. Therese the Little Flower writes, "My whole strength lies in prayer and sacrifice. These are my invincible arms. They can move hearts far better than any words." That is why, my dear faithful, our daily family rosary, our morning and night prayers, those little sacrifices, such as offering up a little headache, or the many frustrations of the day, are so necessary. Necessary so that we can cheerfully offer them up for souls, for the restoration of our country as well. To win the grace of conversion for poor sinners who are in danger of the eternal fires of hell. My dear faithful, we must persevere in storming heaven. St. Therese did receive consolation of knowing that her sinner converted, her first child, as she affectionately referred to Henry Pranzini. Yet how many sinners were converted by St. Therese's prayers and sacrifices, whom in this life she had never even known about? And sometimes, my dear faithful, it may seem that our prayers and sacrifices are of no avail. In fact, sometimes it seems like the situation grows worse after our many prayers. I am sure that many of us are praying for our country, for our leaders, that they abide by God's laws. And if we are not, we should be. Praying for those men who serve our country, for our governor, for our president. And though sometimes it seems that even though we pray and we pray, things get worse. But nevertheless, my dear faithful, we must persevere in our prayers. We may not see the results of our prayers in our own lifetime, or it may be many years before we see anything changes. But we must remember that our Lord will answer in his own way, answer every prayer that we say. As he promised in the Gospel of St. Matthew, "Ask and you shall receive, knock and it shall be opened to you." We will want to look for this consolation to see our prayers answered. But let us not look for this, my dear faithful. But rather, let us place our confidence and trust in the Most Sacred Heart because this is really what true confidence is, placing it all in the hands of the Sacred Heart and then leaving it there in his hands. Thus, my dear faithful, let us in this valley of tears, let us, my dear faithful, use our invincible weapons, prayers and sacrifices, as St. Therese calls them, to make sure that the conversion of sinners happens, to make sure that the restoration of our country happens, confident that the Sacred Heart will always answer our prayers. May God bless you, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.